Right. Council's risk profile. Shall we on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All this that you just mentioned, Matt, I also mentioned that the next version of the risk register will have the registry for clients' risk and the GDPR risk added to it.
Yeah.
And just also to note, in terms of how else they have reviewed that register, since January of this year, has been reviewed by CMT each month. So it doesn't just wait to come to audit committee to be reviewed, it's always been reviewed every month. Where previously it was reviewed by CMT ahead of audit committee only. With regard to the risk register, I'll keep it brief and just point out where the main alterations to the register have been since the last time we met in February. Beginning on page 3, regarding our in-year budget strategy, the forecast savings against budget, the forecast increased between the end of quarter 2 and the end of quarter 3. The end of year position, I believe we reported in the quarterly courts management report, which will be going to cabinet in June. The risk score, CMT have reduced as it became closer to the end of the financial year and became clear that the budget was not going to be exceeded and was going to be kept in. Page 4, conversely, the medium-term financial strategy, the CMT have increased the risk score, and really that is based on the increasing difficulty year on year in finding savings from the council's budget. Every year, as goes by, there is less to come from, and we come closer to just having statutory services in place, so CMT raised the risk score for that reason. Page 5, just to note regarding organizational culture, in that new people performance management process.
Sorry, we're on the same pages as you. I think we've slipped
five.
I'm on page 5 now.
Page 5, okay. Organizational culture.
Yeah, and the sort of risk above that.
That's 4 on that.
Capacity.
That's F4, right? Yeah.
Starts on 4, goes over to 5.
Sorry.
Okay.
A new performance review system for staff is in place. Feedback initially has been very good on that process. And that's it. Page 6, regarding Isle of Wight Council secondary schools and the number. Sorry. Page F5, yeah, sorry. The version that's been published and not mine.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Sorry, Councillor Wright, really. Regarding value to improve educational attainment, the additional comments in there regarding the secondary schools on the island that aren't currently rated as good or outstanding, Medina, Carisbrook, and Christ the King have all recently received monitoring visits from Ofsted and are progressing towards becoming good. Page 6, the additional comments is regarding children's social care going out to sole tender for pathways to independent adult supported accommodation provision. We'll probably have an update on that one by the next version. Page F7, regarding the mobile working pilot, acceptable practice across adult social care. All adult social care staff currently at Enterprise House, as they move down to County Hall, will receive all their new Agile ICT kit, which means that they will all have it in place by the 5th of July, which will be the end date, is the scheduled end date for all moves into County Hall. Yes, Councillor Hutchinson just pointed out the moving of adult social care staff into County Hall also saves us £200,000 a year by releasing us from the Enterprise House rentals contract. page F8, but just to point out the number of outstanding debtors for the Liberty Safeguards assessment now is at 271, and only 8 Trophy 1 assessments are outstanding. That's compared to around 750 when that was just down about 18 months ago. On page F10, there's been detail added about the testing of the mechanical treatment plant at Forest Road. And finally, page F12, page F13, there's been additional information added by the Director of Public Health regarding the risk of pandemic flu, and particular attention to how the strategies are tested both internally through our emergency planning department, who obviously deal with all council departments' business continuity plans, and also externally with partners such as the NHS and the CCG. Happy to take any questions.
Okay. Yeah, I'd just like to make a couple of points. First of all, you'll notice that now across the top you have inherent score, target score, and all the previous scores as well. So before you didn't have all those, so now you can refer back to where they're. You know, the various scores and how they've improved or not. Now, the other thing, I've had discussions with Dave and Wendy, because when I look at these reports, and nobody knows what the last one was there, and nobody knows what the difference is. So my suggestion has been that they will, in some form, note where the changes are from the last one, so you will see what the changes are, either by shading it or something else. Because at the moment, unless you've got the old report and you've got the new one, you don't know what the differences are. So the idea is, if there's a change, we see it. And if there's not a change, it will stay the same. So we can then ask why there hasn't been a change. Questions? Unless you want to fill in on that. Dave? No?
Yes, the risk information will also be included in the QPMR, which goes to Cabinet.
Yep.
Previously we did have the progressing scores in a separate appendix, but with your suggestion, we merged it into the main report.
Thank you.
I think that works. And yes, certainly, starting with the draft version of your report, which will go to CMT through June, CMT members will be notified of the way that we'll be changing the format to clearly highlight what is additional, what has been taken out, and to indicate where no update has been made. And at Chair's request, we will tick that over. So if something isn't updated, we will say not updated for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, however long is appropriate.
The idea is just to make sure there are changes. We know what they are, or they haven't been. We can comment, why not? Do you have a question? Chris? Reg is first and then Paul.
You spoke about the three high schools. You said they're all moving towards good. How do we know that?
That is the update provided from the area director for Children Like Mine, Brian Pope.
So he says they're all moving towards good, so they are. But if you look at the current score as 10, it's only one down from when it was red in March. If they're all moved towards good, that should have made a better drop than that, surely.
Quite happy to go back to CMT, Councillor Barrett. The scores are provided by CMT. The Ofsted reports, the monitoring visits received by the schools, I haven't read the report personally, but that's Brian's.
Not this one.
Well, you believe it though, Brian, don't you?
I believe everything.
Yeah, you believe it. Yeah.
I understand your reticence. Any other? Sorry, Paul. Yeah, sorry.
Thank you. F11, Brexit, which is everybody's favourite subject at the moment. It says that a key link officer has been appointed to monitor potential impact on the Isle of Wight workforce. But how about the Isle of Wight in general and how that will impact upon the Isle of Wight Council and what the Isle of Wight Council does for the community. Is that not something that we should be investigating proactively? Because it sounds to me, with Brexit, we just seem to be walking into the dark. And I think we need to be much more resilient to some of the risks that we have of a no-deal situation, which we're looking more and more likely to have. And how do we address that? You know, that is the concern that a lot of residents sort of like raise about the Isle of Wight Council's resilience to such matters.
Go on, Stuart. Give us your answer.
Firstly, I can't give any reassurance because none of us know what the hell is happening and neither does Parliament. What I can say is that there are regular meetings of the leader and chief executives of all of the authorities bordering the Solent, because we obviously don't operate in isolation, and issues that will affect Portsmouth and Southampton and other areas, particularly in terms of ferry docking, could also affect us, and also particularly in terms of backup on motorways and stacking of lorries and containers and stuff like that. That's all been worked through and was then cancelled, and it will have to go through that process again. So we are trying to look at how the practicalities of being out of the EU will have, what sort of early impact it will have. Obviously, none of us know what the long-term impact will be, but there is work going on in the background, and we're not doing it in isolation.
The reason I asked the question, I think it's so important really for the Isle of Wight Council, is the amount of investment and time we're putting into regeneration and how that may inadvertently impact upon developers coming to the island, investing their money into the island, investing their money in jobs. And at the moment, we're not able to move forward because there is just so much uncertainty. And again, the report is great, but it talks about really what the island's doing within the scope of the Isle of Wight Council, not how we're looking to broaden our efforts to look at, well, this is the Isle of Wight, this is how the Isle of Wight is going to be resilient to change, and this is the steps we're going to take. It's all a lot of sort of like soft words really, but nothing that we can actually grab hold of and offer that reassurance to those people who want to invest on the island, which is so important for the Isle of Wight.
Stuart and Chris.
Well, all I can say is that whenever we talk to developers, we are always selling the island. We keep pointing out that we're open for business. We telling them that we are providing £35 million in upgrading our digital connectivity. We've all seen the mess it's making of Newport's pavements, and that's another issue that we are actually trying to tackle with White Fibre about the damage that's being done. There are some immediate and measurable practical effects on this council in terms of its financial capacity. Over the last couple of years, we've found no real difficulty in investing in four really good properties, earning us a substantial amount of money, close on a million. And we still have a huge amount of money available to invest. Nobody's putting anything on the market. So that will, you know, and had we been able to buy some more, that could have added maybe another million quid towards our savings that we've got to find over the next 2 years. But until we can do something, the uncertainty of Brexit is throttling everything.
Yeah. Chris?
I'm not sure that there's that much that the council can actually do to reassure business. Depending on where your markets are, the opportunities change, whether you have a soft Brexit, a hard Brexit, or no Brexit. And so the solution is actually to get an answer to the whole situation, which would then allow businesses to make their decisions. But I'm not sure that the council can actually do anything. It will change the profile of the companies that might be interested in coming here, depending on what the outcome is.
The only hope is that this risk assessment is not on the next report.
Oh, there's a man more optimistic than
too
I am.
Hope there, isn't
there? Well, the problem, Chairman, with the risk assessments, and you'll notice that the one on finance is running at red.
Continually.
I will continually run at red. There are some uncertainties. We're going to have to prepare the forthcoming financial year's budget on the basis of what we already know, and I don't, you know, there will be no change there. One of the major uncertainties, which we hope will be in our favour, but we can't guarantee it, is the outcome of the Fair Funding Review, where there are effectively two key issues that might change our revenue support grant, and that is the distance factor, where they've now recognised that we are actually an island and they're identifying the additional cost and time that a means for connectivity to the mainland, and also demography, where we know, for example, that adult social care continues to run away with the cash, and that's closely followed now by looked after children. So we have some real issues to address there. And actually those kind of pressures do have an impact on what has been discussed by committee this morning. For example, when we've been looking at cuts, we have protected safeguarding children, and we have protected adult social care by having cuts which are around about 3%. That has meant that other services, including resources, which you, all the things that you've been talking about this morning, has had to take a hit, which is almost twice as much. And that makes it hard to actually deliver the kind of back office stuff that we've been talking about.
So elegantly put. If there's no other questions, we recommend that the council's strategic list be approved and future reports be amended as suggested. Everett?
Yes.
Proposed and seconded by Chris. And to vote, all in favour? Done.